GM, GM, GM. Good morning, everybody. This is Huncho Rel, and we are back with another Morning Mint episode. It is March 12th, and we have a lot to go over today. But the main thing has been, are you choosing Rich? Absolute craziness on the timeline. All Nick absolutely taking over the entire, not only the entire crypto space, but taking over pretty much the entire media space. All we can see everywhere you go on any social media platform right now is All Nick. Truly, truly impressive thing to witness. Gotta love it. On top of that, we have some drama with NFTs. Obviously, Bored Ape Yacht Club and all Yuga assets are just continuing to bleed off. We'll look at a little bit at the loan market, show you some tools to analyze what's happening there. And then we'll just talk about a couple other areas that should be on your radar for focus on NFTs. I love to see it. We'll throw chat in here. Look at this. Everybody is choosing Rich right now. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. If you're waking up right now, you better be choosing Rich. A lot going on, though. Let's just jump right into it. Good to be back. Finally, it's not the morning on the East Coast, but morning on the West Coast. We're doing better. The show has no set time, but it's morning somewhere. That's the vibe we're going to go after for the remainder of the week. GM to Twixie, GM to Jay Glaze, my good friend. Look at this. Chat's just screaming about it. Everybody wants to be rich, choose Rich. It's a meme. It's taking over. Look at this. We'll just start off right here. The man, the myth, the legend himself. This is him. Look at this. This is the man making you generational wealth right now. I'd love to also point out again. This is the man right here. Yeah, that is the man that is basically pumping your bags right now, sending the entire crypto space back. That is the face of a very, very serious person. If you weren't aware, All Nick, one of the co-founders of Nifty Portal alongside Pio, love them, huge fans of what they're doing, made the Choose Rich meme. We talked a lot about it yesterday, but today, absolutely taking over the timeline. We've seen him everywhere from YouTube to Twitter to New York Times. Barstool, though, Dave Portnoy taking note to this, bringing him on the Davey Day Trader show. One of the most interesting things about this was, one, Nick absolutely destroyed and slayed the show. Amazing job by him. But more interestingly, at one point during the show, Dave goes, "Am I going to end up buying your company?" To which Nick replies, "That seems like an ideal outcome." Honestly, it is like a match made in heaven. I do think that we'll probably see a partnership here by end of week. That's my prediction. I do think that you'll probably see the Bodagos and the Nick coin continue to appreciate in price. Look, I say it every show. Attention economy. Where's the attention? Where's the narrative? Where's the community? Where's the momentum behind? And right now it is Nick. That is the entire space right now. It's, you know, there's meme coins and then there is Nick. This should be on your radar. It's time to stop fading. Obviously, a lot of people, as Twixie pointed out, got in down at the $3 million level, down way down here around $3 million. If we just start scrolling to the right, you can see we are having a little bit of a pullback. I did buy the top around. I sent another clip in literally right at the top this morning. But we are having a healthy pullback. We should start to see this get some bids as we drop lower, but currently sitting at a $42 million market cap, doing over $22 million in volume a day. The 24-hour volume currently is at $29 million. Probably going to start to see some pain here as people sell off, but look, this is a typical meme coin chart. You should be aware of how this is going. I do know a lot of people within the 555 Discord were calling for this and they got in early. So congrats to those people. But yeah, this is like a very special moment. Don't take this for granted. This doesn't happen every day or every week or every cycle to the extent that we're seeing this play out. This is pretty unique. But definitely have this on your radar. I'm excited. And Jay Glaze, Nick puts the bit in Bitcoin. You guys are crazy. But yeah, this should be on your radar. It is the only thing that's been on my timeline. It is truly one of the most unreal things that I've seen. Elon Musk tweeting about it. Dave Portnoy. We've seen everybody from CoffeeZilla to Penguin Z1 making YouTube videos about it. Truly craziness. So congrats to Nick. Have this on your radar. Real quick, also, if you are joining into our show, people have been asking about what the heck I've been talking about as far as what 555 is and the community. We do have a community that is based around this token. I'll shill it here. People stop bugging me in the community to shill it. But yeah, if you guys have any interest there, you can join in. But the main focus of this show is really to go over what's happening in this space, where my attention is, where you can be making money, and how you can be choosing rich at the end of the day. We'll just look at the majors real quick because we are having a little bit of a pullback. I've exited all my leverage trades that I entered here. I exited up here, really expecting, because we saw volumes really starting to trail off, some of the narratives cooling off. And if you're tracking GPTC inflow outflow for the ETF, you would see that we actually had an uptick in outflows. And we also saw funding rates start to increase a little bit. That was enough for me to say, I'm getting the fuck out, and basically going short on the majors. What are we probably going to see here? Well, again, not financial advice. Everything I say on the show is pure opinion. But we have had a significant run up over the last week or so, 2 weeks, actually, 3 weeks, actually, now that I like look at how far we've come from when we were at 27,000. Jesus Christ, I just realized how, or 2,700, how quickly we've gone up. 2,700 to 4,000 in just over 3 weeks. Pretty significant run. We are probably going to need to see some consolidation here. We're going to need to see some pullback. Just looking at the major support levels, and again, I'm no like trading expert, so take this with a grain of salt. But it's very clear we're going to have some resistance as we come down. But the major one that we've seen before is around the 3,300 mark, somewhere in there. We could see a solid pullback down to that line. But do expect us to probably come a little bit lower. There will be some bids that get thrown in. But just for the health of it, as you have these quick run-ups, you do need to have a little bit of a pullback, just for the health of the system. Also, Solana, again, still in this trending up route. Probably going to see some pullback, but expect red across the ecosystem. Where will money flow as we see majors get some pain and we see most altcoins going to get pain? Well, in my opinion, Solana shitcoin season and meme coin season is still heating up. And with Nick absolutely taking over the timeline, it's probably going to continue there. Also, notably, before I even go into that whole rabbit hole, for those who believed in me when I called for this at $7 or $1.50, I'm going to shout out Mark Manganiello, the absolute goat, for putting this on my radar and absolutely pilling me on this. Rune has been on a rocket ship over the last couple of days. Have just been acquiring, holding the position, going over $10. I think the first time we were talking about this was down at like $1.40, $1.50. We saw that double up over a couple of days at three, and then it kind of bounced around, but absolutely insane call. So glad that we found this. I do expect, as Bitcoin, again, narrative around Bitcoin and L2s and DEXs on Bitcoin, and frictionless movement of money, being able to go from chain to chain, do swaps, do very complex and large swaps across different LP pools. Rune has been on my radar. If we see a dip here, obviously, in my opinion, a buying opportunity. But yeah, the rotation of capital probably is going to stick into meme coins. It's still going to have people trading. As I said, I made a huge buy into Zin the other day at around 1,500, recapped up at 1,000. And then now we've seen this take off. I do think this is one of the stronger memes that has come out. If you're looking for earlier stuff, just because of my opinion of how it attracts the normie Wall Street general trader population and DGEN and Wall Street Bets population that aren't possibly fully crypto native, but they see something that they're used to using in a meme and a joke that is pop culture relevant, and they come into crypto through this. It's on my radar. I have quite a bag of it. I'm excited for that. Portal coin also pulling back a little bit. We'll see what happens here. I'm still very bullish on everything on Binance. I think, and I saw this thesis that this is an internal thesis from Future Proof, the fund, is that we're going to see everything that's on Binance really start to pop off. I'm still bullish here. Again, investor in Portal, but I do think we have gains to come here, and we should be expecting this to start pushing towards three at some point in the near future, barring some black swan event. Mostly things are red. We're seeing a lot of interesting price movement. We've seen almost every chart here has had a significant move up. Not to be the boomer or the guy that cried wolf, but just the guy that kind of ruined the party. Make sure you're taking profit. Make sure you have a dollar cost out strategy. You're managing your risk correctly. If you don't have a spreadsheet or a notebook, or you're not checking your positions every day and understanding where things are moving and where you might be over allocated and adjusting for that, you're going to have a bad time. And on top of that, if you're not calculating in for profits and losses regarding taxes, you're really going to have a bad time. So make sure you're doing that as well. Let's take a look at someone else who's having a really, really fucking bad time, is Yuga Labs and Bored Ape Yacht Club. It sucks. I was a mentor of Bored Ape Yacht Club. I held all the way to the top and basically all the way back down, which sucks. I made my money along the way, for sure. I minted 4 apes. I had mutants. I had ApeCoin. I had other, like, I did okay. All right. Don't get me mixed up here. Like, I'm doing okay. But Bored Ape Yacht Club, under 15 ETH, sitting at 13 ETH on Blur. We're seeing liquidations on loans across the board. We're seeing people who have been longtime holders, just sentiment-wise, being like, I'm fucking out and yeeting. Top bid has been fluctuating within an ETH to 2 ETH of the floor, really giving people who are trying to exit not that much room. And I think it's pressured more people in a mentality of like, oh, well, damn, like if it's that big of a floor gap, I'm out. Been really interesting to watch. So Bored Ape Yacht Club is at 13. Pudgy Penguins currently just under it at 12.77. It's been interesting to see that as the Bored Ape Yacht Club floor has lowered, how that's put pressure on Pudgy Penguins. A lot of people are also kind of talking about, is this the end of NFTs on ETH? If we scroll through, and again, Blur is ETH only. If we scroll down through this, it is pretty much 90% red. And your only greens are like, Miladies have just kind of held. They're down over the last couple of days from like a 5.2 floor down to 4.6. But like some new mints have come out. Obviously, those are going to go up a bit. But we really aren't seeing anything performing well. Snappy Seals are, I guess, an outlier on this. But we really haven't seen much performing super well. And again, I think this comes down to a couple of things. One, gas prices are painful. And so why, if you're trading a cheaper asset that is under an ETH, you're going to feel that transactional cost on ETH. If you're trading something that's like 0.5 ETH, you're going to have like a 200, possibly higher NFT transfer cost on transferring that NFT. And that eats into your profit and also just sucks. Like, you shouldn't be spending that money. It hurts a little bit less on the Pudgy Penguin side of things, right? Like, you're spending $30,000 or whatever the floor is right now. Like $35,000, $40,000. You don't feel that as much, that $100, $200 transaction costs. But in other areas, you are really going to feel that. And it feels like that's just really dampening the party. I think that there's going to need to be some solutions for how L1 assets can be transacted on L2. We're probably going to see some of that start to come out over the next couple of months as some different protocols and as some different services have started to pop up. I believe that Frame was trying to address this in some way as well. But really, ETH NFT exposure, not so good. I do think this is going to offer opportunities as money will flow back into this at some point to be buying. I've talked about AI art, brain drops. I've talked about how probably most of the PFP projects are not coming back from this one. And you are going to see a culture shift into other areas. Again, if we go to Magic Eden, which is absolutely destroying it on the marketplace side of things, if we look at Solana, there's going to be, you know, Mad Labs is going to stick around. Bodagos for sure now are going to stick around. This floor up to 10 Sol, up almost 50% on floor price day over day, but over the last week has absolutely been on a tear, again, because of Nick. Ordinals having its pullback period still continue out. Yesterday, No Monkey is sitting up like 0.64, now down to 0.54. Again, the entire ecosystem, at least rotation of money, has moved out of our previous little narratives and it's into the new ones. And honestly, just remember that will move out again. We're in a very attention-driven economy right now. Everything is Solana meme coins for the most part right now if you're looking for capital deployment. Also, I talked about this yesterday and some people DM me asking for a little bit of a explanation on Snow Genesis and also loan analysis, and how I can be, how I'm understanding like the health of a collection or health of an entire ecosystem. And because I do think that loans are going to be kind of a heartbeat to the NFT ecosystem this cycle, I thought we'd pull this up and check it out. Snow Genesis is a product built by two of my favorite people and smartest builders in the space that I think I've met. Definitely go check this service out. It's free. And they're, again, just building it's a really great product to be able to go and check things out. So what I've done here is I've gone to Snow Genesis, I've clicked on Bored Ape Yacht Club, I've gone over to loans, and then on filters, I've only filtered for auctions and liquidations. As you can see on the blur side of things for loans against Bored Ape Yacht Club, there's a principal, and that principal has essentially, that is what the loan is for. There's an LTV percentage of like when this loan originated, how much of that value of that asset was loaned out. And as the time of that asset decreases, you start to see the LTV go higher and higher to the point where if LTV is over 100 or it gets very close to 100, it almost makes zero sense to pay back that loan because, again, your debt on that asset is now worth more than the asset is worth. And so there's an easy way to go and look at collections. And as their price lowers down, you can see if it's getting to a tranche of different loans. Where most LTVs originate around 30 to 50%, depending on the service you're using and the APR that you're paying. But if we do see like Bored Ape Yacht Club that was sitting at a 28th floor start to push 10, a lot of the loans, or they were really kind of sitting at 25 ETH for the longest time. But if a lot of those loans were in that 40 to 50 or even 30% range, we are starting to go and knock on the door of that 12 to 10 ETH range. For a lot of these loans. And so farmers and people that were trying to get loans out on capital are now being forced a position of, okay, now what the fuck do I do? So I really like the ape. Is the art as good as the art was when this was worth $400,000 or worth $50,000, $60,000 now that we're sitting much lower, or ETH-wise, does it make sense? Currently, you can see debt on most of these that are going to auction. Currently sitting in that, you know, the mid-teens range. Some people just electing not to pay back these assets. If we go back and take off the liquidation filters and just check out everything that's happening currently and do this on debt. Let's see here. It's not a great sign. To give you an idea, if we look at like a healthy collection, here you can see that like principal out 9, LTV is, you know, not the greatest on some of these assets. You can obviously see that these loans were made a bit ago. But yeah, the loan market for the main PFP projects right now aren't great, and especially for Bored Ape Yacht Club, really, really not great. But yeah, go check this service out if you haven't, and understand the loan market and what's happening and who's doing well and who's not doing well. Because again, as things start to unwind, it gets uglier and uglier. And yeah, just on that ugly factor, like earlier today, you can see that people were exiting positions pretty heavily. A lot of people just dumping, and we were going to continue to see, I think, the Yuga unravel continue and possibly even start to accelerate at a certain point. If you don't consider the unwind from like 18 to 13, that acceleration, just because I think that Yuga's made a couple missteps in the past couple weeks, and doing basically Kevin Rose going on that space yesterday and kind of stoking the fire in the wrong way. I think leaving a lot of people questioning what's happening, people waiting, wanting, like, they're just devs do something kind of has been the like whole meme here. I think people are just hitting the eject button. And because of the leverage, because of the farming against this collection, it's really, really been hurtful to that floor price. Now, this could possibly be, and I again, not financial advice, and I will not be participating in this, so caveat to it. But at some number on Bored Ape Yacht Club, it becomes a EV positive, or there is a trade to be made on if they announce something, if Yuga does something to reward people, or they come out with a game, or they partner with another ecosystem that has another token and there could be yield there. Or they, who knows, like Yuga could be so desperate they turn to somebody like Pac-Man and say, all right, work your magic here. Who knows, if they were to do something like that, you would see the floor price absolutely whiplash out and narrative could change. But as we know, and as I preach, narrative is one of the hardest things to change in this space, especially once it's got moving with momentum in one direction. So note that. One narrative that's been interesting to follow, and I think should also be on your radar today, is Doodles. Austin, a good friend, tweeted this out yesterday, which I thought was pretty bold and made me do a little bit of digging and kind of start to make some guesses around what's happening. But he said, I cannot wait for NFT NYC. Doodles about to show everyone that we are not just here to stay, we're here to lead. See you soon. That's a bold thing. If I was a company, especially with one that had a significant of a platform as Doodles, I definitely would be telling my employees like not to be saying stuff like this unless I could back it up. Some people have taken that take as well, basically saying like Julian, the CEO, even came out to say something around like, hey, buckle up, like we're going to come and deliver big things coming. That is significant. Doodles on April 4th, this will be an NFT NYC, Doodles April 4th, talking about a unveiling of their Project Ray, a project that they've been working on for quite some time. I don't know what this is going to be. My whole joke was that this is going to be a crazy coloring book. That's what this looks like, right? Like, Trobo Farmer would probably buy this and use it, honestly, if it was a coloring book. But we'll see. I think it's going to be a heavy, heavy push around their animation project, content creation. The number one flywheel that you see on every successful brand that follows this playbook. And again, Paw Patrol, not that I'm a viewer or a watcher or a fan, but from a business perspective, you should go study Paw Patrol. I understand the flywheel of that around content, merchandising. It's content, merchandising, and games that allow for them to have engagement back to their audience. And basically, I think Doodles is going to follow that same thing around music, content, merchandising, and the gamification of their assets. I believe that you're probably also going to see the music side and the IP licensing side probably start to get some momentum and a little bit of talk behind it. But for the most part, this feels like an experience around what they're doing on the content side mostly. And then that content will fuel back into their merchandising side that we've started to see play out. And then the big, I think, kind of spark in the powder keg moment will be around IP and how they set that up. If they do all that correctly, you could see this project move. Obviously, we've pulled back from those 3.5 highs. We're down now into like the 1.8s. And this should be under radar for sure. Not something that's financial related, but back to like how we were talking about loans, something that I did want to highlight. Cirrus absolutely doing one of the most goated good human acts I've seen. NFT Stats found this and highlighted it, saying that Cirrus NFT just had a borrower default on a $150,000 loan for a Tyler Hobbs 1-of-1 NFT. This could easily be sold for $300,000 right off that flip. After that default, instead of turning around and selling the NFT and pocketing the $150,000 extra profit, he reached out, pinged the borrower to see if it was an oversight, to which he said it was, and returned the asset after the borrower paid back the loan, and basically just thanked him. Like, that genuine, as NFT Stat says, you're hands down one of the best guys in the space. We got to highlight the good. I feel like too much on the media side, like, people are talking about like the rugs, they're talking about the people are doing bad things. Obviously that is very jarring and it gets people's attention, and that's the job of the media. And drives views, but we got to highlight the people that are crushing it and doing good deeds in the space. And I think Cirrus is one that is more than deserving of that highlight, today. One other thing before we wrap up the show that I think is worth noting, oh my God, I've misplaced it. As you can see, I'm really good at this show. All right, I talked about this yesterday, and apologies for the terrible handwriting, but a couple of people asked me about this whole valuation for underlying assets that I talked about, and there are different layers to it. As we see in technical equity markets, if you were to look at something like Coinbase stock or Airbnb stock or whatever it might be, there's fundamental underlying, like there's revenue, there are costs, there are, you know, federal laws, then security stuff that might be impacting the fundamental valuation of that business, right? Like, if the company is profiting $1 million a year versus a company is profiting $10 million a year, those valuations are going to be vastly different. There's then, after you get through that fundamental of like actual business, there are technical trends. Is that industry growing or waning? Is there anything initiative-wise? Is there upside to that industry? Has that company internally been moving in the correct direction? Has there been a reversal? Things like that. And then there's momentum. Genuinely from a perspective of like, just where is the number going? Has number been going up? Has number been going down? Has number been all over the place? That is like that layer three area that mostly within crypto we operate in. I've broken that down even further and said that under the momentum layer that we operate in, you can break that down to three other aspects that I analyze, which are community, attention, and narrative. Dylan, my brother, is probably one of the like loudest sounding people when it comes down to narrative on things. I tend to focus more on the attention side and community side, but I won't name any projects in specific, but we have arguments around projects and saying like, hey, I think the community is super strong there. I think that they're going to gain more attention, but then it's like, hey, the narrative for this project or for this token has been absolutely abysmal for months or years since the inception. Everything they do, the narrative is flooded. That is a way to analyze whether or not you think the valuation of that asset is correctly priced, underpriced, overpriced, etc. And for the most part, you're analyzing these three things when it comes to most things within our space. I thought I'd just visually break that down. I think it's easier to see and understand instead of me just using my hands and saying words. And obviously, this is not going to be entirely correct for everything. Meme coins versus like an AI token versus ETH are going to have very, very different ways of approaching them. For example, Bitcoin, the fundamentals of Bitcoin years and years ago did not mean jack shit, right? Like, the fundamentals of Bitcoin were narrative attention and like who's using it, and are more buyers coming in than sellers, simply put. Now that we have Wall Street, now that we have ETFs, now that we have federal law and there's things being put in place and we have Coinbase fighting for staking, et cetera. And maybe that's not relevant to Bitcoin specifically, but now that we have things like that happening, those are more fundamental and technical areas that we have to focus on for valuing those assets. And just a good way to kind of gut check yourself. And if you're doing analysis on if you should be buying or selling something, this is the process that I use to make that decision. Pretty straightforward. Hopefully that's helpful. Really quick show today. Not too crazy. Thought we'd go over a bunch of different things and help you guys out. If you have questions, comments, if you have anything you would like to discuss with me, hit me up in the DMs. I'm around. I do enjoy everybody showing up to the shows. If you haven't already, link in bio for the YouTube channel helps if you follow there. And we're going to be having a couple of interviews that go live. Probably do one with Nate Alex. We've got some on the AI side. And then a couple really, really smart traders are going to come on and discuss some of their strategies. So make sure you're subscribed and paying attention because you don't want to miss those. With that said, everybody, thank you for hopping in and watching the show. We'll catch you on the next one. My name is Hunter Rowell. This is the Morning Mint GM. Peace out, everybody.